ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, the appearance of the demon Tritasura, chapter 9, canto 6, chapter 9, text 52.
Sapa adikato dajyan, Ashvibhyam brahma nishkalam, Yatva ashvasiro nama, Tayoratmaratam vyatha,
Tayoratmaratam vyatha.
Saha,
Saha,
he,
Va,
certainly,
certainly,
Adigata,
Adigata,
having obtained.
Dadyam,
dadyam cha,
Ashvibhyam,
to the two Ashwini Kumaras,
Brahma,
spiritual knowledge,
Nishkalam,
pure,
Yatva,
by which,
Ashvashira,
Ashvashira.
Ashvashira.
Who knows what Ashvashira? Thinks about Ashva. Ashva, Ashva made a sacrifice. Ashva's horse and Shira. It's also Shiramani, the name of the book. The head. Nama.
Name.
Tayo.
Tayo.
Of the two.
Of the two.
Amaratam.
Amaratam.
Liberation in one's life.
Liberation in one's life.
The other half. Awarded. Translation. That saintly Dadyancha was also known as Dadichi, personally assimilated the spiritual science and then delivered it to the Ashwini Kumaras. It is said that Dadyancha gave them mantras through the head of a horse. Therefore, the mantras are called Ashvashira. After obtaining the mantras of spiritual science from the Dichi, the Ashwini Kumaras became Jivan Mukta, which means liberated even in this life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The following story is narrated by many acharyas in their commentaries. And there's a whole, so much Sanskrit, which I'm going to skip, because it's a bit small. The great saint Dadichi had perfect knowledge of how to perform fruitive activities, and he had advanced spiritual knowledge as well. Knowing this, the Ashwini Kumaras once approached him and begged him to instruct them in spiritual science, Brahma Vidya. Dadichi Muni replied, "I'm now engaged in arranging sacrifices for fruitive activities. Come back sometime later." When the Ashwini Kumaras left, Indra, king of heaven, approached Dadichi and said, "My dear Muni, the Ashwini Kumaras are only physicians. Please do not instruct them in spiritual science. If you impart the spiritual science to them, despite my warning, I shall punish you by cutting off your head." After warning Dadichi in this way, Indra returned to heaven. The Ashwini Kumaras, who understood Indra's desires, returned and begged Dadichi for Brahma Vidya. When the great saint Dadichi informed them of Indra's threat, the Ashwini Kumaras replied, "Let us first cut off your head and replace it with the head of a horse. You can instruct Brahma Vidya through the horse head, and when Indra returns and cuts off that head, we shall reward you and restore your original head." Since Dadichi had promised to impart Brahma Vidya to the Ashwini Kumaras, He agreed to their proposal. Therefore, because the Vichi imparted Brahmavidya through the mouth of a horse, the Brahmavidya is also known as Ashvasira. Om Agyanti Madanasyati Amadina Salakriya Chakshuru Mirita Vino Sivuri Vino Manam Sivuri Titanya Manam Vistana Stavaka Vino Sivuri Sayam Vakata Vaya Vyati Shankarika Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasri Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here I will read the translation again. That saintly Vedanta, who is also known as Avicii, personally assimilated the spiritual science and then delivered it to the Ashwini Kumaras. It is said that Vedanta gave the mantras to the head of the horse. Therefore the mantras are called Ashvasira. After obtaining the mantras of spiritual science from the Vichi, Ashwini Kumaras became Jivan Mukta, liberated, even in this life. So at this stage, he personally assimilated the spiritual science. So each one of us can personally, you know, become enlightened. That is depending on a certain quality and something else. And what do you think? What is needed to become enlightened?
Knowledge, mercy of the spiritual master.
Knowledge and mercy of the spiritual master. Because we all have knowledge and mercy of the spiritual master. Anyone else? What do you think? Just give me a guess with your intelligence. What might help you to become spiritually realized?
Humility?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Humble.
Being humble. There are many humble souls on this earth. I'm not humble. There are many humble souls, and they're not Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Any other one?
Mercy.
Pardon?
Mercy of Krishna.
He said that the mercy of Krishna ultimately it will be the mercy of Krishna, but how do you get the mercy of Krishna?
Desire.
Okay, not desire. Desire?
Only want to do best, yeah. The best areas.
Well, it starts with a very strong desire. You know, I've seen devotees. They were so meek and so humble. Every time the temple come out, who can wash the pots? Yes, Prabhu. Who can do it? Yes, Prabhu. Who did it? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. At one point, this brahmachari, and I was only thinking, oh, we should almost like him. That's surrender. Like that. And then he became a sannyasi and a sankirtan leader. And from that humble devotee, he suddenly developed pride. And then something happened and he left. He wanted more power, something like that. So I also left. Is another thing. So the path of devotion service, sometimes people start here and they go a long time like this, and then they climb up again. Sometimes they go, you know, like this, and slowly, like that. Everyone has their own path. You know, one is a hare, one is a snail, and it's best if you have the hair and the snail qualities. Or this. So this intense desire. So what I want to say is, you don't have to be a nice boy or girl. Because the nice qualities you will automatically develop by hearing again and again. Then you want to be also nice and humble and meek and surrendered like that. But the most important thing is your intense desire to become Krishna conscious. And then, if you have this intense desire, like for instance a materialist, like just towards the Olympic Games, wasn't that recently? Or even if it wasn't. Anyway, imagine this Olympic Games.
So there are people who want to win a gold medal with swimming. So every morning, at the time we have Mongolati, they rise and they go to the swimming pool by bike in rain, thunder, and they go up and down, so many things. Up and down. And they have a birthday party. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't come. I have to train tomorrow. They just focus on winning the gold medal. They do everything. They swim, they do exercises, they run, weightlifting, so many things to win that gold medal. You know, to become strong. You know, they do all kinds of activities to become beautiful. You know, if you look at in the picture of a movie star, there's just some watered down yogurt and some fruit. You know, never eat cake or what to speak about, like a kora or samosa. You know, they have to stay slim like that. So people perform so many austerities to reach their goal, what they want. But ultimately, everything is taken away from them. In the former age, the greatest sportsman of the year became Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. And he came on stage like supported by two men, because he had so many blows to his head that, you know, that doesn't go over there. That has its effect, you know, because the brains are loose and shake, like just like a confusion or concussion, then it's not very good. So what to speak about someone with punching on your brains? So like that, and he was a sportsman of the year. Like, I remember Tarzan, the first Tarzan. He was an Olympic swimmer, what's his name, Johnny Weissmuller, and he was an Olympic swimmer. And then at the end of his life, he was sitting on a little drip, and like that. And so, old age takes everything away from us. Our money, you know, when we die, our health, our beauty. And there's only a few people who live 70, 80 years, and are healthy, and have a perfect relationship, and are not hungry, etc. But that is very rare. But then what happens? When they die, there is this attachment of this relationship which was there for 40 years. And so whatever position you are, it ultimately ends in suffering and in attachment and lamenting. So in the beginning of your life, you start desiring, and at the end, you start lamenting. And even when you're young, many people lament, I was good looking, I wish I was rich, I wish I was that, you know, like that. And the aim of spiritual life is to become self-satisfied, peaceful, to accept whatever is given to you due to your karma, and accept it. And be happy with it, and try to work out your brains, how you can do from your 10 talents, which you have given, to make them into 100 or whatever. So, this intense desire to become Krishna conscious is the main drive. And beside that, you have to, what is in the nectar construction is the first one, is what you need?
Control the tongue, belly.
No, I'm not talking about quality. Enthusiasm. Remember? Enthusiasm. Just like the sport. So the one who wants to win the gold medal, enthusiasm, and then determination. It's gold medal. Right, I go for it. I want that gold medal. So if you want to go back to Godhead, then you need that strong desire in your heart. So here we are in Bangladesh. And how many people are here in class? How many people are here in Mongolia? Even on Radhastami, which is like Janmasthami, Lord Chaitanya's appearance, Lord Nityananda. There's days, the Lord, they are waking up every morning, early. And they're there. So it's their birthday. And they want to see the devotees. One, two, three.
3, 4.
Yeah, and so we have to be eager. Like in like 100 years ago, like a mansion like this. Say, I don't know if in this mansion, if ever one family lived in it. But imagine one did we done it ever. Was it occupied, or was it always a hospital or an old folk home? Was it ever one lord and lady lived here?
Yes.
Okay. So these lord and ladies, they lived here. You know, this was maybe the ballroom dance, and this was the living room. And then upstairs were the servants' quarters. And if they're, like when we have Queen Court in England, was a castle where Queen Juliana and Beatrix and Irene, the two eldest princesses, were staying during the war. We had that one time in England. And in the servant quarters, they had bells, you know. And with green room, red room, blue room. And so when the lady in the house, there is, in, like in the manor, if you go to the flower room, there you see something like this where you can press. Also the father's room, and then you press, and the servants come. And when you go for a drive to somewhere else, and you come back, then the cook is there, the garden is like there, the butler is there, the chambermaid is there, the dresser is there, everyone is there, lined up. So the old days, when they were greeting of the deities, you know, even the people from the kitchen, the cooks, they quickly come, have darshan from the deities, and then continue to do the service. You know, so, and we, those who are living, not the ones who are living outside, but the ones living in this place here, especially in this building, you know, if you live far away, it's a little further, but especially in this building, then it's like I'm engaged, I'm your servant. Right, and so I just have to be there. Sleep you can do all day, you know, like that. You can just go to bed early. And but you know, to be there, the Lord is there, and He wants to see me, and I want to be seen. And by this, you get blessings. You know, they become pleased by you just by being steady and by just being there. You get purified just by sitting in the class. You get purified just by. You know, anything you do, every time, of course, you do Mangalarti, you chant Maha Mantra, you chant the Panchatattva Mantra, you chant the basis to the spiritual master, Jaya Vishnupada, Jaya, Jaya, and it automatically Jaya, 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 always enthusiasm. We have so the tendency to become an automatic pilot, no, move, if you can move, of course. If you have a desire, like I was reading the book of in the Bhagavad Gita, the chapter of the birds, and all these birds were in former life great sages and munis, and they were completely in bliss by listening to the flute of Krishna. If you aspire to be a tree or a bird or something water in Vrindavan, then you can just stand and not move, etc. But if you want to have a human form, then you have to lose your form and say, oh, she wants to dance with me, Okay, and Prabhupada says, even if you don't feel like it, just do it. You will get the taste afterwards. Just do it for him and her. Just do it. Even if your body is aching and your mind is breaking and whatever, just put that little endeavor and like that. And then you get the mercy. That's all you have to do. To be enthusiastic, to desire, and then just to try to please them, you know, by doing service, steady service. That you know, if you like, there's the devotees, you know, in this temple also, they do steady service, you know, like that, and they take up a headache of Prabhupada, you know, it's like that, and by doing that, you get extra mercy. You know, some people are here just to enjoy the ride. You know, you see them sometimes at the downtown. And, you know, and others, they work hard, you know, either in the kitchen, or in a preaching program, or in Sankirtan, or doing that, they try to use the brain, how can we spread Krishna consciousness? How can we bring people to how it is? How can we make this festival? You know, so they use their brains and they use their hands, etc. So here, these Ashwini Kumaras, they are the heavenly physicians. and they have great power. Who knows in the Bhagavatam, there's another a wonderful, amazing story where they did an amazing feat. Oh, anyone? The Ashwini Kumaras. Remember? Something to do with an old yogi. Forgot his name. Okay, there was one time a yogi, and he was sitting. His meditation was, he was just sitting somewhere in a hole. And there was a princess. And the princess one time saw this little hole, and she saw something shiny. So she went with the stick, she poked into it. But that was a yogi. You know, so then something happened in the kingdom, you know, and all things went wrong. I forgot the details, I didn't look at that. And then the king found out what had happened. You know, that there was a yogi and his daughter, the princess, had pierced his eye or whatever. So he said, oh, I'm so sorry. Please excuse me. How can I rectify this? What can I do to satisfy you? Please. Then the yogi, you know, was very, very old. And his, you know, Prabhupada sometimes said, look at my arm, and he went like this. He said, look, flat tire. You know. So when you're getting old, your skin are getting loose. Margaret Thatcher, her last interview, she was getting a little away, you know. So I say that absent minded. No. Like maybe a little Alzheimer's, I don't know. Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's, but anyway, she was looking in the mirror at one point. And then she saw herself, and she said, it's always the chin that goes first. She said to herself, it's always the chin, the neck that goes first. Because it goes like a chicken neck, you know, like that. So this yogi was completely like, he was in the water. You know how you look like if you had a bath and been in the water too long, or in the sea, then your skin is all weird. Now, he looked like that and much worse. But he saw this princess who was very pretty. And the way he was looking at the princess, the king realized he's attracted to my daughter. Then he says, would you like my daughter as your bride? He says, yes. Hari Bol.
Hari, Hari. Most beautiful outfit. I love that little skirt,
Chris. Really beautiful. yesterday also. Nice outfit, huh? So then, this girl, and Vedic custom is that you're married off, even here in the Middle Ages, any princess from England, from Holland, from whatever, if, you know, they were married off to someone just to get an alliance with another kingdom. You know, like Princess of England was married to William of Orange, and then he became the king there, and things like that, and this is the enemy, and then they do it, okay, if we marry our son and brother, then we become friends like France and England, like that. So it's all political. So the girl had no say in it, if she liked it, if she was attracted, or whatever. She was just married off. That was the fate of a woman, of a princess, and of any woman. Even Prabhupada mentioned that he had a neighbor who was in his 60s, 70s, and he became widower. And a young girl was married to him, you know, but she served him, she accepted him. Anyway, so this princess was there, married to this yogi, old yogi. Then one time, the Ashwini Kumaras passed by, and they asked this yogi for a favor. I forgot what. The point is that in return, they said, we will make you young again. And they went to a lake, and he went in a certain lake, and he dipped in the lake, and he became a young man again. And then when he came out as a young man, the girl was, of course, very handsome. So she was very happy. But when the king saw her daughter with this handsome young man, he became very angry. He says, what is this? Are you unfaithful to, you know, to your husband? And he was about to curse her, or very angry. And he said, no, And then, you know, then he became also very happy. So these Ashwini Kumaras, they have this power to take the head of a man. So someone else, his head was taken off, but not voluntarily. Who remembers which head was taken off? Daksha. Remember Daksha when he was insulting Lord Shiva? He was Daksha. The Sanskrit word Daksha means expert. He was like, almost like of the demigods. He was like, you know, like Indra, the king of heaven, and of the ones below him. Daksha was, if there's anything happening, Daksha was number one being invited. And he was, you know, and because of that, and because of, if you're very qualified, you have the tendency to become proud. The tendency is there, unfortunately. And so he became very proud. So his daughter, Sati, was married off to Shiva. Now Shiva is spiritually much higher even than Indra. He is much higher even than Brahma. You know, he is like, he is God, and then is Shiva, and then is, you know, like that. Like that, if we are the living entity, Tatvavit, correct me, are we 78%, and is he 85%, something like that? If God is 100%, correct me if I'm wrong, Tatvavit, yeah? Okay, right. I'm getting old, so much things to remember, 65 years, so. so then he was, one time there was a big party and everyone was invited, and so when Lord Shiva was already there and he was sitting in meditation, and Daksha came in, and everyone, you see, just like when the curtains open, although not everyone does it, but when the curtains open, you're supposed to stand up before the curtains open to respect, a sign of respect. If just like in the story when Lord Balaram came in the forest of what was it? Mm-hmm. The Harsana Sutta. The sage was sitting on the asana, yeah, and he was speaking. Pardon? Namaskaram. Yeah. And so Lord Balaram came in, and he was thinking, I'm normally, because you're sitting on the seat, just like now, because we are listening to the Bhagavatam, we don't have to pay obeisances. We can do it, but this is enough, because this is also Krishna. It's not different from the holy name. So that's why we don't do it. But normally, when you enter the temple, you pay your obeisances, and you know, when the curtain is about to open, you stand up to welcome the Lord out of respect. So Daksha entered the temple and entered this festival, and Shiva was in meditation. So everyone was standing up to Daksha and went like this, and then he saw Shiva sitting there, and he thought, immediately became annoyed. He said, "Who is this? Who is this? You know, he's my son. Why doesn't he stand up? Why doesn't he show respect?" And he started, ha! You know, blaspheming, you know, this personality covered with ashes and snakes and blood. How dare you, like this. So then, everyone was like, sometimes when there's a fight between two exalted personalities, younger people don't know what to do. Should I? What would you do? Because you're not supposed to, if it's two equal ones, you can't say anything. You're not allowed to. But if a higher spiritually or elder is insulted, you should speak up. It's your duty. And if you don't, then you make offense to that person. It's very tricky where to draw the line, but in age and in ashram, sannyasi, you know, like that, but also in age. And even if they're either not qualified or whatever, faithfully the respect is shown. Even if the younger person might be spiritually then maybe more qualified, but the older, that, you know, like that. Not the outward, not the sannyas order, but I mean, if the devotee might be more spiritually fixed up, fired up, and that other one might have a beard or a mini dress or whatever, then you know, then it's tricky. So So, and then what happened, Shiva, his followers are ghosts and all the pilgrims, and then ultimately the head of Daksha was removed, and he was given the head of a goat. You know, so these things are possible. You see, so basically, I'm saying lately in my classes that, like, we have so much mystic power in us. Power, you know, you can get mystic power just for instance, just to eat fruit only, or just to make a vow, just follow the principles, or just to chant certain rounds. You get a power. You get, you know, not only body style would be good, but you get tejas, spiritual strength, spiritual, and just by wishing, you know, things happen. Or just by cursing, things happen. If you're very powerful, you know, like that. Of course, a devotee doesn't want to curse, but you see, you can gather. These things, these talents, how you call that? These
Siddhis.
Mystic powers. That's what I mean. These mystic powers. By performing austerities. So you can do two things with them. You can keep them, but you can also use them for evil. That's why this was black magic, voodoo, putting things, etc. You're putting pins in someone, or you curse someone, or like that. And like in the story, for instance, of King Vena was a very evil king, and he was so evil when he was young, when he was playing with his boyfriends. You know, say imagine you're playing a cowboy in India, you know, and he actually has real arrows, or he has real shot, and just kills off his mate. So, you know, he was like that, you know, and no one dared to say anything, because he's the king, he's the prince, you know, like that. I was just saying, like, Prince Nikolai, the son of Nicholas, the Tsar was, and they were all killed off. And this boy, there's an old movie, and he's standing with his schoolmates, and suddenly he just is like this, flat, and then just like this, to the boy next to him. You know, just no reason, because there's someone coming, and he's just standing there, he's in a sailor costume, and he just is like this. Horrible, you know, and that can go through the head, just because he's a prince. You think everyone is a servant, you can just slap someone. So you can use things for good or for evil. So with these tejas, there is descriptions in the Ramayana and in the Mahabharata of just an ordinary woman or an ordinary man that because of their piety, they got powers and they were able to bless or to curse. But in general, devotees, you know, they don't curse because, you know, because if you, like the mother of Rupa Maharaj, when he was treated badly by his stepmother, who said, you know, if you, because he was sitting on the lap of his father, and the stepmother didn't like that because her son was sitting already on the lap. And so Rupa tried to climb on the lap and said, what do you think you're doing? Like this, get up. And he said, if, and then he was so nasty to a little boy, 5 years old, said, if you want to sit on your father's lap, then you should go to the forest, you know, and perform severe austerities, and then maybe in your next life you might take birth of me, and then you can sit on your father's lap. So when Dhruva Maharaj heard that at 5 years old, he became, because he's a Kshatriya, passionate, became very angry. So he went like his mother, like, and crying, etc. And then his mother said, "My dear Dhruva, what has happened?" And he couldn't speak. He was still upset, like a child that is upset. The words are breaking. And so one of the maid servants said, "This and this is what happened." And then Dhruva Maharaj's mother said, "My dear child, unfortunately, you know, your father don't like me very much, and what your stepmother said, although it was very, very harsh, is true. If you want to fulfill your desires, then you have to please the Lord. Even your grandfather and great-grandfather, they all performed great austerities to get His mercy. And then they got, you know, like this. So in this way, then Dhruva Maharaj said, so where is this God? He said, well, I've heard that great sages, they go to the forest to find Him. And he immediately, 5 years old, he left for the forest. So then he performed great, great austerities. At the end, he was just eating first berries, started eating berries and maybe roots. And then he was just and drinking water from the Yamuna, holy water. And then at the end he was just drinking water. And then he was just breathing. And then at one point he stopped breathing out. And when that happened, because everything is in balance, so it's just like if I'm on a cord and you go like this on the cord, I immediately fall off. You know, like that. So the breathing is in balance because it's in control. Everything is controlled by the demigods. My eyebrow, I cannot do this if the demigod doesn't allow me. If it doesn't allow me, it gets paralyzed. And even it is said sometimes that in Satchinanda Maharaj did this test that someone is called in front of the group and then and he has to lift up his hand and then everyone has to focus that the hand becomes very heavy and then he goes slowly like this. Mm-hmm. One of you has been present in that thing? Yeah? And then he says, now everything is light and then you can hold it. So, by the well wishes of the devotees or even non-devotees, that's why we have to get the blessings of not only devotees, but also the non-devotees. You shouldn't make anyone bitter or angry against you, because it comes back on you, it bites you. And so if you get the blessing of everyone, then at the time of death, they all think well of you. And even if you made it like 40%, 60%, but just by the well-wishes of the other devotees, you go a bit higher. So that's why. One time, it's very late. 5 minutes. Any question? I read about death and the pastimes. But it's all to do with that. In short, you know, spiritual life, if you want to get this perfection in spiritual life, like a Dichi had, you know, you need to be steady. And first of all, you need a strong desire to become, you know, spiritually enlightened. And then to have enthusiasm. Question? Everything very clear? You all agree? Okay, that's very nice. Then we can end it. That's done. Thank you very much.
No question.
You have a question?
Me?
No, I thought you said you had a question.
One? Yeah, this chapter.
Okay. Yeah.
This chapter is talking a lot about people getting their heads cut off.
Yeah.
And you know, I think there might be some not relevance. I'm not sure relevance is the right word, but so what's happening in the world, there's a lot of this decapitation going on in the Middle East, for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the Westerners who read about that in the news might wonder, well, you know, what where does that come from in their culture? You know, we could... You know, it's possible that somebody could attend a class like this in Bangladesh and hear about these decapitations in the Bhagavatam and say, oh, this is where somehow, you know, it's in the culture, even in the sacred books, it's in the activities of the demigods. And,
yes. Well, in the Western world, cutting off heads is very normal. You know, the guillotine you have, like Marie Antoinette, in France, they were beheaded. It's quite off-pitch your head. it's, even in our stories,
Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland, you know, off with your head, please. Off with your head. So it's just in you think it's now, it's because now all these punishments, like even the death punishment, it's not done anymore because you know sometimes they do make a mistake, but even then it's karma, and then they get better off, you know, if it's done by mistake. But the Vedic thing is, if you kill someone, you have to be killed. If you set fire to a house, you have to be killed. You know, if you rape, or there's five things, and then you have to be killed. And then you're freed of your karma. And now what's happening, they are in the prison for 40 years, and then they get killed, and then they die, and then they get, again, the prison punishment. Because according to spiritual law, they have to be killed. Every murderer, and that's why things happen. But this, so in 200-300 years ago, there was much more killing, and not only that kind of killing, drowning or setting fire. Look at the Middle Ages and all the, you know, even priests, etc., were in flames. Witches, people who were doing herbs things. Oh, that was a witch. And then, if you burn, then it's not a witch, yeah. But then it's too late, you know, like that. And even you know, also monks in the Roman time, that you know, in the English, one of the kings and one monk, but because he was Catholic, and you know, Henry VIII, he was Protestant. And he made himself Protestant because he was not allowed to marry again. So that's why he thought, Rome, we don't listen to Rome. We just have our own religion, like that. And then since then, there was lots of fighting between the Catholics and Protestants. And I just look at Portugal and at the Inquisition. You know, so many people were killed off in different kinds of ways, on all kinds of torture. You know. Anything. So nowadays it's very, you know, not so much violence happening. What did you say?
Slavery.
Yeah. But slavery was basically, there were slaves. If you read about the story of Samba, and you know, and then there was this fight between the Kurus and then when Lord Balaram came and it was rectified, then he was given so many maidservants, so many slaves, like that. But just like so many wives, they were all taken care of. You know, just like everyone had a palace or everyone had this. It's not like what it turned out later on. You see, like a king, he personally sometimes went in disguise and walked through on horse through his kingdom and just sees what is going on. Are the vices doing their job? Are his ministers doing their job? Just to check out. And then they were punished if they were not doing it. So there was punishment. But now, because we don't have belief that if a murderer should be killed or to get free from his karma, they think it's cruel to kill someone. And that's why, you know, these punishments are not there anymore. But you know, now it's less violence happening than like or beheading and things like that than a few hundred years ago. So, but ultimately, when sometimes a whole nation has to die. You know, why is there a war? It certainly starts a war in Yugoslavia. You know. And they've been living there for ages together. Or in India, you know, with the Hindu and Muslims. They've been living peacefully in a village with Hindu and Muslims. Suddenly, there's a fight, Prabhupada said. They kill each other, and when they're dead, who's the Hindu? Who's the Muslim? You can't see. You're both brown. You know, it's like that. And war, it has to come at one time, and disease, like, what is the disease now? Ebola. You know, AIDS, anything. It's just to kill off a certain amount of people. And it's like that. And if they find a cure for the disease, another disease will come. It was the plague, it was this, it was that. It's just karmic, you have to die. And some people don't get sick, and even if they are in the same spot, they don't get AIDS, in the same spot, they don't get Ebola, and others have. It's just your due to get it. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, hari hari. Okay. Is that a Oh, he had another question.
You
can ask later. Enjoy Prasad. Hare Krishna. Have a wonderful day. Be happy with your consciousness. Hare Krishna.